And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Enjoyed every moment of it, I trust. I had a very busy weekend, and on an upbeat note, on a happy and encouraging and joyful note, I had an opportunity to speak to the Hampton Christian Academy graduates on Saturday. Wonderful class of young men and women on their way to doing great things for God. And it was a privilege to be able to do that and to meet some of the faculty and the staff and the board. And, I didn't realize it until I got there that this school, this private Christian school, never closed its doors during the pandemic. Never closed their doors. And all the students were healthy. Nobody died. To my knowledge, there was no outbreak of any kind. And yet our public schools across this country have been closed in many places for a year. How is it that a private school can do that, but a public school, a government school, cannot? Well, they could. But, of course, they lack something that the private Christian school has, that is, faith in God. But second, for this private Christian school, it's really about educating children and preparing them for the future. And the teachers' unions have proved to us that for them, it is not about that at all. It is about pursuing their own agenda. It is about promoting their own sense of power and privilege. It is about doing what is best for them as they see it. And the kids, they're just a footnote in the whole process. And not until parents began to get up in arms and people began to say, wait a minute, what is going on here? Did you see the teachers' unions begin to say, oh, well, you know, we want to open the schools, absolutely, 5 days a week. But their heart is not in it even now. I'm sure many teachers would love to be doing it, but the teachers' unions, I think what they want to do is collect a paycheck, get politicians elected who will back their agenda, and poison the schools and the minds of our children with a bunch of sexual perversion, denigrate the country with stupid indoctrinating garbage like the 1619 Project, teach critical race theory and divide people on the basis of their skin color and their ancestral origin, and promote the idea that some people, based on where they come from and what they look like, are inherently bad and oppressors, and some people, based on where they come from and what they look like, are inherently victims and oppressed. And that the oppressors, the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old children and on up, they should be ashamed of themselves and who they are. And the victims, they have a right to demand that everybody owes them something because, after all, they're victims. That's the garbage. You know, in one sense, even though we've lost a year academically, in one sense, the less of that the children have to endure, the better off our country is. So I just want to commend the Hampton Christian Academy and all the Christian schools out there. I'm sure there are others of you listening to me who are involved in Christian school. Maybe you're a parent, you're sending your child to Christian school. Maybe you're a teacher, you're teaching in a Christian school. Maybe you're a homeschooling parent and you're educating your children as Christians in the home. Whatever role you might be playing, I want to commend you and encourage you to keep doing it. Because I really believe that there's going to be a surge of private Christian education, and that COVID, or the communist Chinese Wuhan virus, as I prefer to call it, has helped to spur that. You know, here again, it's a reminder of something I say all the time. God is not the author of bad things and evil. People bring bad things and evil on themselves, just like China brought this Wuhan virus on all of us. But God is the one who steps in and brings good out of the evil. So even out of this COVID debacle that we've experienced and all the little petty tyrants who've arisen who want to control everybody's life and use it as an excuse to do so, even out of that, God is bringing good things. And one of the good things I think that's coming out of it is more parents are homeschooling. More parents are sending their children to private Christian school. My church started a school a couple of years ago. We got some students as a result of the schools closing down. So praise God for the good that he brings out of the bad. So that's an encouraging note for the weekend. Had a great time with those folks and was really impressed with a fine crop of students that they graduated who are on their way to various institutions. I did say something to them that I'll say to you all as well. As I've traveled the country, folks, I have heard more parents than I can count say to me, I raised my child in a Christian home. I took my child to church. I sent my child to Christian school, and they went off to college and came back a changed person. I don't know what happened to them. They're rejecting everything that they were taught. I'm serious, folks. I've heard that many, many times from parents. So the lesson is, don't send your child to a school that is not going to affirm the values that you've taught them. Look, your child may be able to withstand it, but a lot of them don't. And for any students who might be listening to me, beware, beware, gird yourself and be ready to defend your values and who you are. Because believe me, there will be an onslaught of pressure to get you to change and reject those antiquated Neanderthal old time values that your parents had based on an antiquated document like the Bible. Who cares what the Bible says? We have our own Bible now, which is us. We are writing our own word. We are our own gods. Beware. And if you want to fit in, they'll tell you, yeah, you better go along with us. But the word of God says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. But that's the second verse I just quoted. So just be encouraged. Good things are happening in spite of the craziness that's going on. Now, wow, folks, I rarely come on and talk about myself because I want to talk about the issues of the day, and they're a lot more interesting. It's a lot more interesting to do that than just talk about me. But this time, I'm going to get into a little personal story here because it bears on the issues. I hope you all know that they're getting ready. When I say they, I mean a lot of politicians and government officials on the left of this political spectrum are getting ready to try. They're trying to figure out now, how can they force every American to get the vaccine? You know that, don't you? I'm sure you are aware of that. That's what they're plotting. That's what they're trying to think through. How do we force every American to get the vaccine? Now, I just found out because our governor, you all remember him, Governor Ralph Northam, you know, I won't go into all the various descriptions we could give of him. He's not even worth it. But he asked for an opinion by his attorney general. And when we come back, I want to share with you what the opinion was that he asked and what our far left crazy attorney general wrote him back. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. And then I want to tell you what I'm doing, which I think may be an answer for many of us who are at least reluctant about the vaccine. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
doubt that the CEOs of major corporations travel in the same circles as I travel. If they did, they would hear the phrase, get woke, go broke. It appears that a majority of Americans have had enough from the woke corporate culture. But even if they don't pay attention to what many of their consumers are saying to each other and on social media, you would think that they would pay some attention to prominent political figures. Senator Rick Scott wrote an open letter to woke corporate America. He hoped that they were having fun with their virtual signaling and their attempts to one-up each other in trying to show how woke they'd become. He observed that you must have loved the accolades from your elitist left-wing peers when you took the All-Star game from Georgia. He also added, never mind that you destroyed working people's jobs and hurt people who haven't worked since COVID-19 took a member of their family or destroyed their small business. The CEOs might have even seen a Wall Street Journal op-ed by Senator Ted Cruz, if for no other reason than the criticism the senator received for writing it. He predicted that many members of Congress won't look the other way on Coca-Cola's $12 billion in back taxes owed, this time when Major League Baseball lobbies to preserve its multi-billion dollar antitrust exemption will say no thank you. They might even have seen the latest Rasmussen survey that discovered that more than a third of American adults said that they were less likely to purchase Coca-Cola products. In fact, a majority of Republicans and a quarter of Democrats said that they were less likely to purchase Coca-Cola products. Most of us merely want corporations to focus their attention on developing superior products and services. But stay out of the culture wars and stop trying to be more woke than your competitors. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman, here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. Here's a newsflash. You don't start leading people to Jesus by quoting scriptures. And sharing your faith is not a sales pitch trying to get people saved. Jesus said they'll know you're his disciple by your love. Love is showing concern for people regardless of their spiritual condition. Your focus is on them, not saving them. But here's what happens. When you love on people, it's not natural. It's supernatural. Because most people are not lovable. So when they see that your love for them is sincere, they'll tell you things they won't tell their best friend. Sometimes within moments after you meet. It's such an honor and value to us that you want to honor. It's amazing how fast they'll share with you where they're hurting and how the Holy Spirit will immediately remind you of a scripture or life experience that will minister directly to their need. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. We can help you at IgniteAmerica.com.
Brian Fisher here. A CNN contributor calls for a new Hitler to kill all the Jews in Israel. A video shows Capitol Police gave rallygoers permission to enter. Bill Gates socialized with Jeffrey Epstein dozens of times. The commander of our Space Force is dismissed from the military because he thinks Marxism is bad. And New York's Pride March bans cops. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Now, let me make something clear. I am not in principle opposed to the vaccine. Okay, let's be very, very clear about that. I am not. I don't have any problem with people who get the vaccine, want to get the vaccine. God bless you. And I'm not afraid of the vaccine. The main issue is I don't want to be forced to take a vaccine. I don't want to be forced to do anything. I don't want my government giving me an order to put something in my body that I choose not to put in my body. Now, I haven't decided not to have the vaccine, but I'm not at the point where I've decided to have it either. And I don't want anybody telling me, well, you better get it. You've got to get it, or we're going to do X, Y, or Z to you. So let me make clear, I'm opposed to the force that I think the left would like to use to make you take it. And by the way, when I start taking calls, I'd be curious to know from you, how have you taken the vaccine? Have you not taken it yet? And how you feel about it? I mean, whether you're inclined to get it or you're not inclined to get it, or you're still kind of waiting to see what the experiences are of others. I do know this. I think it's fairly clear that most people who get it are a little bit sick for a little while. And when I say a little bit sick for a little while, I mean a day or two. I've had people tell me they were feverish and achy and and, you know, kind of the like a flu shot, they get kind of mild symptoms of having the disease, which then goes away and they're fine. And I've had people tell me who've gotten both shots that they had the same reaction with both shots. Sometimes one shot creates a worse reaction than the other. So I understand that, you know, some people may think, I don't want to do that. I'm not one of those people. I just figure that's kind of like the flu. But I'm just not there. So let me tell you what's happening here in Virginia, because I think this is what's going to be happening across the country, because I think they're gearing up. I said the governor, but one of the legislators, and I know that this is that the governor's behind this, because this is a game they play. He's representing a lot of people. He asked the attorney general for an opinion on requiring school children to get a vaccine. But I want you to notice how the attorney general answers him. Here's the first paragraph in his what he calls discussion and relevant laws. He says, "The health commissioner and general assembly possess the power to impose a vaccine requirement on all residents." That's his headline for the first paragraph. He wasn't asked that. He was asked about school children. But his headline in the answer is, "The health commissioner and general assembly possess the power to impose a vaccine requirement on all residents." In other words, he's saying we can order you to take it. And then he goes on in the body of that paragraph to say, in addition, Section 32.1-48 of the Code of Virginia Assembly currently grants the Commissioner of Health the power of, quote, requiring immediate immunization of all persons in case of an epidemic of any disease of public health importance for which a vaccine exists. Now, there's been no order for everyone to get a vaccine, but you can't tell me, this was issued on April 26th, you can't tell me that this is not the prelude to exactly that. And I think they're going to get corporate buy-in, where people are going to require that you prove that you've had the vaccine in order to do business, in order to work, in order to travel, a bunch of things. And see, none of this is necessary, folks. None of this is necessary, because those of us who have not had the vaccine are not affecting the dramatic downturn in deaths and cases. Because I think what's happening is we're reaching herd immunity in our country. So let me tell you what I did today. This is where I get into sort of my personal business, and but I think you'll understand. I decided that I wanted to have a test to see whether I have the antibodies which make me immune from the disease, because I've had it, right? I had it back in November. It's been 6 months. And if I still have the antibodies after 6 months, and there's certain cells that you have that they can test for to see whether, in fact, you are immune from the disease or highly resistant to it. I spoke to my doctor's office and told them what I wanted to do, and I got my doctor's buy-in, and I went out early this morning and got the test. I won't have the results, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to share the results with you, because when I called up, one of the assistants said to me, "Oh, well, yeah, that was 6 months ago. You don't have the antibodies anymore." And I said, "Well, that's not what I've read." I said, "I've read some scientific articles that say they think that the antibodies and the resistance, the immunity after having had it, is long term and may be permanent." Let's not get into an academic discussion. Neither one of us is qualified to give a definitive answer to this. That's why I want to get the test. Okay. I mean, it was pleasant and everything. I mean, you know, believe me, it wasn't ugly, but I just said, look, there's no need in us debating it. I want to get the test. So the doctor came back, said, "Yeah, okay, fine, get it." So I went this morning and had the test, because look, here's what I'm thinking. If I have the antibodies that make me immune or highly resistant, how about giving me a certificate that says he possesses the antibodies that therefore make it unnecessary for him to have a vaccine, because he already has the necessary resistance to the disease that a vaccine would produce? Now, for all of you out there who maybe have had it and you're not particular about the vaccine, it's just a strategy that you might try, because that's what I'm doing. Because if I can get my doctor to give me something that says you have the antibodies. And you know, people with the antibodies, they take our blood and plasma, assuming I have them, your blood and plasma, and they have used that to treat people who have it, and it's an effective treatment for the people who've got the disease. Because basically what you do is you borrow from their immunity, you borrow from their resistance to the disease, and it helps the person who's got it. And so, as far as I'm concerned, I'm looking for an alternative to the vaccine. But you know what troubles me? Do you notice there's been no discussion of natural immunity from having had the disease? Have you noticed that? Because they want everybody to get the vaccine. See, I think the herd immunity that we're seeing, and I think that's what we're witnessing right now, is because the people who've had it are resistant to it, and the people getting the vaccine are resistant to it. And when you add all of those together, you're probably getting up to that 60, 70, 80% level where most Americans now are resistant to it. So the drop off now is dramatic. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's dramatic. That's why you've got politicians under a lot of pressure now to end the mask mandates and to stop, you know, all the craziness. I went to an event, folks, on Saturday night here in Virginia, where we're under this Mr. Dum-Dum. And they allowed 250 people at the event. They actually separated the ballroom into three sections separated by tables. I'm talking about 4-foot tables, not partitions, tables. 4-foot tables. And they said, you may only cross the partition of tables by going out the door of the ballroom, down the hall to another door, and then you may enter into the next section. And that's the only way you may interact with the people in the other section. So like COVID can't leap over a 4-foot table. We all know that. And we're all in there breathing the same air, and there were no masks, no mask requirements at all. And we're sitting 10 to a table. See, I think this has nothing to do with protecting people from the disease. When you create these kinds of hoops that people have to jump through, it is all about, it is like treating people like rats in a maze and getting some kind of sick satisfaction out of watching them jump through the hoops that you make for them. Because folks, common sense, you're all in an open room. There are tables blocking off sections where people are sitting 10 at a table, and somehow this is supposed to protect us all. No masks. I mean, I don't think the masks work anyway, but again, no masks, but you know what? We had tables separating us into sections so that we would all feel safe. Doesn't that just make you feel safe just to hear about it? You know what I mean? The only thing I found was irritating because there were people in other parts of the room that I wanted to speak to, and I had to go out the door, up the hall, and in through another door to see somebody who was like 5 feet away from me. I'm serious, right? To see somebody 5 feet away from me, literally right across the partition. And there they are, but you can't, you can't. And there was a spot where you could have walked around the table, but you can't do that either because COVID might follow you. You got to go outside, out the door. I mean, folks, believe me, this is all about priming everybody to say, if you don't get that vaccine, you are not patriotic. You're not a good American. You're not going to be allowed to do X, Y, Z until you get the vaccine. So just letting you know what I'm doing. And look, when I get the results, I'll be very honest with you. If they say, you know what, you don't have the antibodies, there might be a little discussion about that. If they say you don't have the antibodies, I'll report that to you. I'm going to do some more research myself on it to make sure that I'm getting an answer because I went there. I said, I'm supposed to be tested for the antibodies. You know what the person who was doing the blood test said? I don't think so. Then went and checked the record. Oh, yeah, okay. She wasn't even going to do it. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Hope. It's a big word. Four letters, but a big word, an extremely big word. It has many meanings. It means going on when folks say there's no need to go on. It means another try when we've had our last try. It means a match in our pocket when the candle has finally burned completely out. Some people find the secret of living in this word. They're happy people. They are the successful people. They are the people who cannot be daunted, cannot be deterred, cannot be dismayed. Hope has done many a thing for an individual. It made a light bulb for Edison when the whole world laughed at him. It created a steamboat for Fulton and lifted him to immortality. It made a wireless for Marconi and sent messages around the world. For Bell, it built a telephone, an impossible machine. And it also made a hospital for Nightingale. What is hope? Hope is going against the odds. Hope is playing the game of life and risking your all on the good and pure and just. Hope is believing it can be done when the experts say it cannot be done. Hope is giving life your best, day after day, regardless of what life gives back. Who needs it? We do, you and I. We cannot live without it. What would life be like if we tried to go on without hope? Why would we care if the sun came up tomorrow if we did not have hope? None of us are ever so rich that we have no need for hope. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from above. For there's no hope that's not founded in Him. He is the author of hope. He says the world can be better. We believe Him. There is hope. The carpenter had it. The nails ripped through his flesh and the blood gushed from his side. The multitude laughed and the soldiers gambled. But he had hope. Forgive them, he said. They're ignorant. Hope carried him there, you know. Hope lifted him from his knees in the garden. Hope restored the ear of the Roman slave. Hope freed the criminal and took the carpenter's life. What right do we, the followers of the way, have to live without it? If hope was so much a part of him that it carried him over the hates and doubts and fears, can it not carry us over our little problems and through our lives? Who are we to scorn it when he exclaimed it? Yes, it's a sorry world. Man robs man. Little children die of starvation. Man kills man. It's a cruel world. Why does it he send a mighty gush of wind and wipe the whole earth from the face of the universe? Why doesn't he strike the world with his little finger and blast us spinning into space forever and ever? Because he has hope. After centuries and centuries of trying and our refusing, he still has hope. And if he refuses to let go of it, who are we to try to live without it?
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Okay, now, another piece of business that sort of affects me personally, but I think you'll find it instructive and helpful, or I wouldn't even be talking about it. I think it was Saturday. It might have been Friday. I got a letter from the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service. And of course, I know what you're probably thinking. I know what I think. I don't like getting letters from the Internal Revenue Service. I don't want to see a letter from the Internal Revenue Service. Now, what is this now? You know, because I have a lot of, forgive me, I shouldn't say a lot of, some of my income is for as being an independent contractor, speaking and whatnot. And of course, I have to pay taxes on that. So when I get a letter from the IRS, I'm thinking, is there something I didn't pay? Is there something I owe? Well, I open the letter, and lo and behold, a letter from the IRS, that is an envelope from the IRS, had within it a letter from Joe Biden at the White House. Now, see, my first thought was, this is wrong. This is wrong. There should not be a letter coming from the Internal Revenue Service that is really of address from the White House and President Joe Biden, because the Internal Revenue Service is not supposed to be politicized. Now, interestingly, the letter opens, "My fellow American," okay? But on the back of the letter is a Spanish translation of the same letter. But guess what? The opening words of the salutation of the Spanish-speaking letter is not "mi americanos." It is "mi compatriato." In other words, the English he addresses "my fellow Americans," the Spanish he addresses "my compatriot" or "my comrade." Isn't that a little weird? Why wouldn't you say in Spanish "my fellow American"? And I don't know what the proper way would be to say that, but probably "mi americanos," or "mi amigos americanos," or something, "my friend Americans," "my fellow Americans." But no, "my comrades," "my compatriots." Leaving that aside, the letter tells me and my wife that, you know, we've got benefits coming under the American Rescue Plan. And folks, I'm not Rush Limbaugh, okay? Rush Limbaugh had a caller say to him one time, you know, "How can you relate to the average person? You make $7 million a year." And Rush Limbaugh said, "I am insulted." And then pauses and said, "That you think I only make $7 million a year?" So, look, folks, you will not be hearing any statement like that from me, okay? But however, we're not poor. We're not dependent on the government. And so in the letter, he says, "I want you to receive all the benefits that you are entitled to. I don't want any government benefits. And how am I entitled to government benefits if I'm earning a living? What is my entitlement to government?" Folks, this stuff, Joe Biden can say all he wants that he's not a socialist, but he is. He's bought into it. And this stuff is socialism on steroids. These people are trying to move us toward a totally dependent culture. You all know that they're sending, for example, now $300 per child to families with children up till the end of the year now. And they want to make that permanent. They're sending the money every month. And depending on how many children people have, I mean, they'll be getting hundreds of dollars a month from the federal government, your tax dollars and mine, courtesy of you and me via Robinhood, Joe Biden. In fact, you know what? I was thinking, now I know why he likes to wear the mask all the time, because he's robbing us. He's robbing us. That's exactly what he's doing. He's robbing the American people. He doesn't have any money. Well, he does have a little, because his son went out and made sure of that. But that aside, I mean, really? To the benefits to which I am entitled? I want to make sure you... You know, frankly, my wife and I are insulted by this, because this is nothing but an attempt to buy people. That's all it is. Because when you send those letters to people who don't need anything from the federal government, what are you really saying? You want everybody to need something from the federal government, to need the money that they're going to send you. And folks, I see these leftists are running around talking about the slavery that ended 150 years ago, and they are buying into a far more pernicious form of slavery, because socialism enslaves every man, woman, and child under its authority. There's nowhere to look for freedom. Think there are any citizens who look for freedom in Cuba or China? None. Even a member of the ruling class, they've got to be careful. They say the wrong thing, they can find themselves in prison or executed. The number is 888-589-8840. I'd like to get some of your calls in. I just wanted to introduce those two topics. Because as you know, this man is driving up inflation. We had inflation twice the rate it was in the same month last year. And that's a very, very dangerous sign, one that all economists are paying close attention to. We've got gas shortages. We've got a crisis at the border. We've got schools that are not open. We've got a spike, a dramatic spike in violent crime in the inner cities across this country. We've got Israel under attack by Hamas, financed by Iran. Oh, and us. Yeah. He's sending them $10 million now with a plan to send $130 million to the Palestinians. You know, we got them cement. You know what they did? They built tunnels with the cement to funnel people into Israel so that they could do suicide bombing. Folks, you talk about prayer. I tell you what, we've got to pray like we've never prayed before, because I'm serious. I don't think I ever thought I would say this. I couldn't imagine ever saying this. I think Biden's worse than Obama. I really do, because I think the Democrat Party has moved so far much further left, and Biden is trying to placate them and appease them, and I think to a large extent he agrees with them anyway, probably always has. The politics just didn't work in the past, but now he can be who he really is, and he's taking the country in a far left direction in worse ways than Obama did. Now, that's saying something, because Obama was practically raised a communist. No, and I'm not trying to just issue an ad hominem against the man. That's a fact. He was pretty much raised as a communist. His mother was a communist. His mentor was a communist, Frank Davis Marshall. And his father was a communist. So I'm not just making stuff up to try to insult him. I mean, that's the reality of it. And his whole orientation comes from that direction. Another devotee of Saul Alinsky. And for Biden to outdo him? Boy, that's going some. Oh, that is really going some. You know what? I've got a couple of other topics I'll introduce, but oh my goodness gracious, am I out of time already? Oh, I am. You know what? My apologies, folks. Stand by. We're going to come right back, and we're going to take your calls for the rest of the program. The number is 888-589-8840. And I'll just say, if you notice, I've never talked about this whole debacle between Meghan Markle and Prince Harry and the royal family, because I don't care what they think. But when this guy decides to leave England and come live in the United States of America and has the nerve to insult our Constitution and say that our First Amendment is bonkers, you know what I want to say? Did anybody tell you that we fought a war 240-odd years ago and kicked you and your kind out? And establish our own country. We like our First Amendment very much. If he doesn't like it, let him go back to England and live under the authority and oversight of the Queen. And leave us alone. Back in a moment.
In His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
I loved it. I loved how biblically sound it was, all the scripture to back it up.
The testimonies were very powerful.
If it's a prodigal child that has just run away, or one that's caught up in same-sex attraction, there's hope in Jesus.
In His Image is now available on DVD and can be purchased in bulk to pass out to friends and family. Order today by visiting afastore.net.
Well, this should come as no surprise, but Netflix is at it again. Their animated series, Paradise PD, is going full tilt blasphemous, portraying Jesus as a homicidal maniac who climbs off the cross and goes after his enemies wielding two machine guns. And it gets much worse. Join 1 million moms in sending a message to Netflix that this anti-Christian trash won't be tolerated. Sign the petition at 1millionmoms.com and cancel your Netflix subscription if you haven't already. 1millionmoms.com.
Sheila from Tennessee attended one of the town hall meetings hosted by Dan Celia. She left thinking about different ways to handle her finances.
Dan Celia spoke a lot about tithing and being faithful to the Lord, and I definitely intend on getting in on this charitable gift annuity, which I've never done, but it sounds so exciting. Listening to him in there, it made me reevaluate my way of spending money, my way of doing, and it shows you that a little bit can go a long way when you place it in the Master's hands. So what we need to do, and what I intend on doing, is taking the little bit and making it be worth much for the Lord.
Find out if a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation is right for you at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net.
I didn't understand why, as a young man, I reached up and punched my windshield because I was frustrated over a relationship, and I watched its spider web crack in front of me, and I thought, oh, you idiot.
It's hard to be a teen, especially with the body and brain changing so dramatically. Today on Focus on the Family Minute, Jeremy Clark offers some insight into why anger sometimes takes control of your teen.
Well, it all makes sense that I had all of this extra testosterone. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know why I was aggressive and angry all the time and fighting with my parents all the time. This gives me great compassion when I'm interacting with young men, knowing that this is happening. This is something that is a reality in them that we can't wish away.
If you've got teens, remember to offer more grace and hear more today at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, let's come to your calls. You all have been very patient. Appreciate that. Let's go to Mary in Texas. Mary, welcome.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to try and make this as fast as possible so you can get other callers in. First of all, the vaccination, I have family members that are sick, and I agree. If you choose to take it, I don't have a problem with it. But it's not a vaccination. It's a shot, just like the pneumonia shot, the flu shot. I consider vaccination like chickenpox or smallpox or something like that that's going to last for a long time. And my second point is like, wasn't it like 5 years ago that people were saying they don't want to give their kids those regular vaccinations and they were being able to not do it. So now you're going to impose a shot on me when just 5 years ago we had this problem with the smallpox and the chickenpox and stuff like that.
Yeah, Mary, you know, that's an interesting distinction you make. And it brought me back to when, you know, the vaccines were administered in a different way. I'm trying to recall some of my childhood vaccines. But you're right, they're not necessarily shots. But I think this one is administered with a shot. I'm not sure what the distinction there is. But you're right. We know that these vaccines now have been questioned by a lot of people who believe that they have a lot to do with the rise in autism in our country, that we have a lot more autistic children these days. And a lot of parents really believe that in spite of what the so-called data says, that this is related to vaccinations. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see this play out, Mary, but I have no doubt that's where they're heading. Now, there may be some governors, like in Texas, who will rebel against it and say, you're not going to force our people to get shots. But in many places, as I just read you, our attorney general here is already priming the pump to say it is perfectly within your authority to order every single resident of Virginia to have the vaccine. So Mary, thank you for the call. God bless you. Let's go to Ann in Alabama. Ann, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Bishop. I love everything you say, and the callers who come in, they're so intelligent. I want to say that there are tens of millions of we people who have to follow the science. We have autoimmune diseases, and we have doctors who say do not get a vaccine that would compromise the medications you are already taking. There are chemotherapy maintenance patients like my brother, who was advised by his oncologist, do not take the vaccine. We practice common sense, staying our distance. I've never had a symptom. I have never been afraid. The only time I've been afraid is when I've been among a bunch of people who say, put your mask up, cover your nose. You know, that's when I walk out God has given me a spirit of hope, not Amen. Fear. And that's the gospel that our country must hear. We've had a golden opportunity this past year for pastors and Christians of all kind to declare the truth that hope is in Jesus. Yes, we must be safe. Last month, I had the opportunity to be at a banquet where there were 600 people around tables. My table only had 4 people because I was the last to register. But, you know, the people I know are careful. Mm-hmm. Stay home if you have a symptom.
Wow. Well, listen, Ann, I think you are on point when you say God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And unfortunately, I think what the left and many government officials have tried to do is to give us exactly a spirit of fear, of hatred and division and confused minds. And that's not something that we as Christians should be buying into. Thank you so much for the call, Ann. Let's go to Julian in Georgia. And folks, the number is 888-589-8840. We've got some open lines. You can still get in. Welcome, Julian.
Yeah, hey, I was watching EWTN. They were talking about the birth rate versus the replacement rate, said it's the lowest it's been in 50 years. We put more of them in caskets.
Yep.
Than we're putting in cradles. And Emory and Elliott's law, they're trying to get passed over there in Ohio. The lady had twins. One of them lived 45 minutes. One of them lived 2 hours. They were like 22 weeks and 5 days old, but the hospital did nothing for them. And I hear the Catholics, the bishops and the priests are going after Joe Biden, people like Nancy Pelosi that are supposed to be good Catholics, but they don't stand up for the preborn and with the same thing that the church does. And I think it's about time that, you know, if you say you're a good Christian and you this, that, and other, but you don't stand up for what you believe in, hey, it's time for the people, you know, to stand up and say, hey, enough's enough.
Amen, Julian. Thank you for the call, Julian. To me, the idea that Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi are Christians of any kind, Catholic or Protestant, it's a joke. I cannot believe that any devout Catholic, any Bible-believing Christian would even take that seriously. I told you, I created a stir of controversy when I was doing an interview with Victoria Jackson. Remember Victoria Jackson? She's now a born-again believer. She used to be on Saturday Night Live. She had a show, flew me down to Atlanta to do her show, and she asked me about what I thought of the spirituality, the Christianity of Barack Obama, and I said, it's laughable. That's a joke. Oh, my goodness gracious. You would have thought I called the man a nasty name. They just went crazy. People who don't care anything for Christianity and yet were defending his right to label himself as a Christian. But Barack Obama's no Christian. Are you kidding me? Any more than Jeremiah Wright, his pastor, was, or Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi are. And you know, the Bible says, by their fruit shall you know them. Where's the fruit? Zero. None. All right. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to, I always wonder about your name, Duana. Is it Duana or Duana?
It's Duana.
It's Duana. I thought that was right, but it's a lovely name. But when I see it spelled out, I have to wonder, now, what's the proper way to say that?
I know.
But thank you, Duana. I'm glad you called.
Well, I was calling. I'm a teacher. I'm 60 years old. We've been in school all year, and we've had a couple of outbreaks and all that. But my doctor's not advising the vaccine, and I just – My question is why? I know they're trying to do this and forcing it, but the why behind it? Because, you know, like you said, we're moving into herd immunity, and we've got other things like the flu that we're not totally eradicated, and this is not that deadly. And why do you think it's the big thing? I mean, I know they want control, but for to divide us all, or why do they want the control?
Well, look, Duana, there probably is more than one answer to that question. I mean, you're right. I think control is part of it. I think training us to accept whatever is pushed at us is part of it too. Training people to be compliant, to go along, to not question. I remember we were told the science is the science, follow the science. And then you find out, well, they're lying because they're not following the science. They're following their political agenda and simply using the science to back it up. But then they want to lecture you about following the science. So what could that be about except teaching you when you're told something, don't question it. When you're ordered to do something, don't question it. Just do it. I think it's about control, but I think it's about the really dark vision they have for the future of our country. Because I really believe, Duane, that these folks want us to be a totalitarian country, of course, with them in control. Thanks for the call. And stay healthy, Duane. I'm glad to hear that your school's been open and you're doing fine. And God bless you for being a good teacher, too. We need more of you. Let's go to Cindy in Kansas. Cindy, welcome.
Hi. I will be really brief if I can. Your other caller that was talking about fear, I so agree with her. My husband's on oxygen all the time, and so we have been careful with him. He's also been told with his condition that it might not be a good thing, that the vaccine actually might do him more harm. And I wanted to say that over the whole time that everybody was staying away from their family, I have a granddaughter that lives with us, and she's in a junior high, and their school's been open this year, and a grandson that's going to the university in our town, and a daughter who works at the hospital. So those are high areas of exposure, supposedly. Mm-hmm. We've been together almost every night for supper. We've hugged each other goodbye and told each other we loved each other. And I just feel like those who have stayed away from their family for a year out of fear, what if their grandchildren were in a car accident and they never got the chance to hug them again? Oh. And I just think trust in the Lord and Amen. Be with your family and love your family, and that's the best way.
Amen. Cindy, thank you so much for the call. I won't even add to that. You said it so well. Steve from Tennessee. Steve, I think you're going to close this out. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I'll make this short and sweet and simple. I think about the vaccine is that there are some powerful investors in the drug companies.
Yep.
And so they bought up a bunch of these millions of these vaccines. And so if there are some that are left on the shelf and stuff, well, that's going to be the less money that they're going to get whenever it comes time to sell the stock. And that's just, I think it's all about money.
Wow. Well, Steve, as I said, I think there's more than one answer. And I think what you just said is part of that answer. There's no question about it. There's an economic incentive to get this stuff into the veins of as many people as they can, because the more people get it, the more money they make. It was just like, remember that we found out that you were getting a certain amount of money for every COVID diagnosis, and then you find out that people were being diagnosed with COVID if they simply had the positive test with no symptoms and died of something else. So, Steve, I think you're onto something. I think all of you are. And again, I'm not opposed to the vaccines per se, but it ought to be your choice. So, folks, let's just stay at it, because we're going to get our country back. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.